internet, a more gracious place, does not seem high on anyone's agenda, and certainly not for most of the technology companies that control it. But the old lesson of think before you speak has given way to the new lesson of speak at your peril. You can't consider yourself a supporter of free speech and be policing and punishing speech more than protecting it. Free speech demands a greater willingness to engage with ideas we dislike, and greater self-restraint in the face of words that challenge and even unsettle us. It is worth noting here the important distinction between what the First Amendment protects, freedom from government restrictions on expression, and the popular conception of free speech. The affirmative right to speak your mind in public, on which the law is silent. The world is witnessing the strangling of free speech through government censorship and imprisonment. That is not the kind of threat to freedom of expression that the American public faces. Yet something has been lost. The opinion poll clearly shows a dissatisfaction with free speech as it is experienced and understood by the American public today. Consider this finding from our poll. 55% of respondents said that they had held their tongue over the past year because they were concerned about retaliation or harsh criticism. Women were more likely to report doing so, 61%, compared to 49% of men. Older respondents were less likely to have done so than other age groups. Republicans, 58%, were slightly more likely to have held their tongues than Democrats, 52%, or independents, 56%. At the same time, 22% of adults reported that they had retaliated against or were harshly critical of someone over something he or she had said. Adults, 18 to 34-year-olds, were far more likely to have done so than older Americans. Liberals were more likely to have done so than moderates or conservatives. Elijah Afera, a 25-year-old information technology technician from Union, New Jersey, said he worried about the larger implications of chilled speech for democracy. You can't give people the benefit of the doubt to just hold a conversation anymore. You've got to worry about feeling judged, he said. Political views can even affect your family ties, how you relate to your uncle or the other side. It's really not good. Roy Block, a 76-year-old from San Antonio, Texas, described himself as conservative and said he has been alarmed by scenes of parents being silenced at school board meetings over the past year. I think it's mostly conservatives that are being silenced, he said. But regardless, I think it should be a two-way street. Everybody should have an opportunity to speak, and especially in open gathering, an open forum. Pollsters asked how free people felt today to discuss six topics. These included religion, politics, gender identity, and race relations. Compared to 10 years ago, more free, less free, or the same. Those who felt freest were black respondents. At least 30% of them said they felt more free to speak on every topic, including 42% on race relations, the highest share of any racial or ethnic group. Still, that sentiment of more freedom among black respondents reached only 46%, not a majority, the 46% being on the issue of gender identity. At the same time, a full 84% of black people polled shared the concern of this editorial board that it was a very serious or somewhat serious problem that some Americans do not exercise their freedom of speech out of fear of retaliation or harsh criticism. And 45% of black people and nearly 60% of Latinos and white people polled reported that they'd held their tongues in the past year out of fear of retaliation or harsh criticism.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his Immaculate Progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from a series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, if you have been following this series of shows, we are trying to answer the doubts and misconceptions on the Islamic beliefs which are received usually in the form of questions from different questioners from around the world. The question of the day that has been asked by a respected questioner is concerning the holy shrines of the Imams and the, let's say, the people belonging to the Ahlul Bayt and the household of the Prophet. It has been asked that why are the shrines of Imams so luxurious, that is, in a, such as a mirror work, like millions of Chanel linen, etc. Something like, for example, the palace of a king. So they have been beautified by different, let's say, beauties all around the, let's say, holy shrine. And we are saying that these imams are from the ordinary classes of the society, but the kind of the way, but the way that we are adorning their holy shrines does not want to prove such a reality. So is really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied with what we are doing with their holy shrines and make it that luxurious? For example, putting some gold and, let's say, beautiful chandeliers, as I said and referred to. And some, let's say, dharih for the tomb of the imam, and etc. So how would be the best answer for such person to say that, okay, it really differs from the palace of a king?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I believe that we cannot compare the holy shrines of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam to any other palace. Yeah. Because these palaces are the palace of the, unjust rulers who want to, oppress people and to want to cause trouble and injustice to the people.
Yeah.
We cannot at all compare it to the palaces of the rulers because they are very luxurious. These palaces are very luxurious and lots of money has been spent on that and so on and so forth. But talking about the holy shrine of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam, you see that first of all, these are from the donation for the most cases. I mean, generally speaking, these are from the donations of people.
Yeah.
People, they want to spend their money, for making the holy shrines of Ahlul Bayt and to beautify it to some extent, for example, using the beautiful lights and sometimes the, for example, they use gold in the dome of Ahlul Bayt for making that and they just want to give some beautification.
So the question is that why don't they spend such charity work on the people who are in need and poor people or needy people?
Because these are, first of all, these are from Sha'air Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, وَمَنْ يُعَدَّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This is in chapter Al-Hajj, verse number 32. If a person glorifies the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an indication of the, purity of hearts. These are from the Sha'airullah, and it wanted to, give, importance to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And first of all, you see that these are from Mawaddah.
Yeah.
From affections of Ahlul Bayt, because people, they love it. And of course, all Muslim denomination, whether Shia or Sunni, they believe in Hubbun Nabi.
Very true.
All of them, they love Noble Prophet. Mm-hmm. Okay, they have kind of love and affection with Noble Prophet. Mm-hmm. And this Hubbun Nabi and Ahl Baytihi, I believe that all Islamic denominations, believe in that. Mm-hmm. Okay? And this Hub and Mawadda shows and indicate itself to the, in this way. They want to make it beautiful. Because mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Ahlul Bayt, because I feel kind of, relationship, heart relationship with them. I love them. And because of that, I want to make it very beautiful. I want to make it to some extent attractive. And these are not exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, false in it. And you see that, what is the outcome of that?
Mm-hmm.
The outcome of that, you see how righteous people have been educated in the Holy Shrine. They attribute themselves to the Ahlul Bayt and to the school of Ahlul Bayt, and they go and help the other destitute people in the name of Ahlul Bayt, and they give charity. All of that, these are outcome of the, school of Ahlul Bayt and how they wanted to educate themselves and to, for example, to be helpful for other people.
And this sort of beauty, as far as I know, is not really, not necessarily just to make it that, let's say, glorious in the form that the palaces of the kings are, because they are going to be a place for the worship of the people. Usually, if we look at all these holy shrines, we see that just close or beside that tomb or dome of that, let's say, imam, we have a place for the worship of the people. So do we have the same case and the same thing in the palaces of the kings? It's not something like that.
I said in the beginning of this episode, the comparison itself is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to the palaces, for example, you see some examples of the, you know, palaces has been made all over the world. You cannot do this comparison to the holy shrine of, for example, Imam al-Hussein or Hazrat Abbas. You cannot do this comparison because there is no, you know, way for this comparison. Totally different. Mm-hmm. These are places for, as you mentioned, for the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Holy shrine of Ahlul Bayt are place for worshipping. And you see this sahn and these yards and places only, it has been added to the haram and the holy shrine of Ahlul Bayt. They are for the, for, you know, for worshipping and for the residents of the visitors. They go there and for the just to take rest and to pray and to have some kind of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to say that this building, all of that considered to be place for worshipping Allah.
Very true.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you do not see any luxury over there, but mm-hmm. compare it to the palaces that are all of that, they are luxurious.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
It is beautified as a masjid, or let's say a mosque, is going to be beautified for the purity that we are looking, I mean, material purity that we want from a masjid and we are expecting from a masjid.
For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that خُذُوا ذِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ masjid.
Very true.
When you go to the masjid, a place mm-hmm. or mosque to place, take your best clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It should be tidy, it should be nice, clean. Can you say that it is, for example, is that extravagant? Can you say that? No.
So these are the places that, are based on the Quranic verse, we are beautifying a masjid for the worship of the people.
Let me explain. You know, you see that we have the concept of zina, which means to make it beautiful.
Yeah.
It is totally different from the, for example, israf or tabzir, extravagance or spending lavishly some money. I want to say that these titles are totally different from each other.
True.
Just we want to make it some comfortable place for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to visit the holy shrine of Ahlul Bayt. These are different from the extravagance or doing israf, tabzir or any other lavishly spending.
Mm-hmm. And so let's take it for granted that, for example, the holy shrines are needed to be so. But how come, how do we justify the kind of, let's say, beautifications that we are making on the tomb of some other ordinary people, like all of the scholars, like that of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi? Can it be justified?
Of course, we have the even the same explanation here. Because Imam Khomeini, after all, he was a grand, you know, Ayatollah. I can say, generally speaking, he was the concept of Wilayatul Faqih and Waliyul Faqih, you know. Because he was a general deputy of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salatu wasalam. I want to say that because, again, the same story is here. Because he was general deputy of Imam al-Mahdi. And because we have this kind of love and affection to Ahlul Bayt, we have the same for his successor, general deputy of the Imam al-Mahdi. I want to say that the same story and the same reasoning is here for Imam Khomeini.
One last question, I want you to be brief, Sheikh. And it has been asked that, can it be less, I mean, can this beautification can be less than what we are seeing, and the rest could be, let's say, distributed and handed out to the poor or to the needy of the Islamic Ummah? For example, we could define a standard of this, let's say, beautifying the holy shrines, and the rest to be given to the needy. So the stress on that is coming from those who are usually criticizing. But it's true that those who are criticizing, they themselves never help any poor or needy at all in their own life. But they are insisting, why don't you help the needy of the ummah so that you are actually stressing on beautifying such places?
You see that the priority, as I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, priority goes to Sha'air Allah. Priority goes to signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Because, for example, we have the concept of the, for example, recommendation of giving charity to the poor people. For example, about the concept of zakat, one of the, you know, charity goes to the poor people. And of course, the explanation of that. Or even the concept of khums. You know, to some extent, it goes to the poor of Sadat. And so
everything
and so
in its own place. So yeah. If it goes for charity, okay, it has always, a way has been defined for that already. If you go for, let's say, ta'zim sha'ar Allah, so it has another way for that. So when we are actually investing in such places, it does not mean that we ignore and neglect the charity giving to the needy, right?
Exactly, yes.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for your explanations and your respect, listeners, for your staying tuned and listening to Q&A Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. I hope you enjoyed the show. As I did. Please join us again in our upcoming sessions by next week, same time. Once again, I'd like to thank Sheikh Nur Muhammad for his enlightening and scholarly information and scholarly answers to the questions. And I leave you all to our next session and Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since we're still basking in the blessings of the birthday anniversary of Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, here is an interesting saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding the presence of the 12th and last successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. And it is because of him that the proofs and signs of Allah are not wasted.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A killer whale beached on a Mexican shore has been rescued by locals and environmentalists. Volunteers with a group called Youth Allied to the Environment helped carry the orca out of the sea. The whale was loaded onto a truck and taken to a large dock for medical examination. Volunteers say locals gathered to form a human chain in an effort to quickly fill the tub with water. The orca is being treated at a marine biology department of the Yucatan Autonomous University. Veterinarians say the whale appeared to have some pulmonary problems and will be released back to the ocean after the recuperation.
To some people, it is just garbage, but to this Filipino woman, recyclable items have become a source of livelihood as she turns them into beautiful outfits. Leonora Biovaje is an experienced dressmaker who can weave and stitch nearly any type of material together to make fashionable frocks and gowns. She uses newspapers, plastic wrappers, and rice sacks as her clothing materials. She says rice sacks have the advantage of print and patterns, which both bring texture and color to her designs. The seamstress says she often uses packaging and bubble wraps from her children's delivery orders to make her gowns, among other materials.
It's good to use recycled materials because the cost is inexpensive. All you are really paying for is labor. It is durable, colorful, and we can help the environment at the same time.
She says her dresses sell for $30 to $50 and are used in weddings and other debut events. The recycled materials used for each dress would depend on her client's request. Her designs using recycled materials have also caught the attention of local fashion events. Leonora says she hopes to inspire others to create clothing out of ordinary recycled materials.
Elephant Day in Thailand. The country celebrates a large animal as a source of national pride and cultural identity throughout its history. One celebration took place in Chonburi province on the eastern Gulf of Thailand coast. Dozens of elephants were hosted at a famous botanical park. The animals were treated to 2 tons of fruits and vegetables laid out on a table as wide as 8 meters. Elephants in the past were used for labor, transport, and in battlefields by warriors and kings. But nowadays, they're no longer used for heavy-duty jobs.
And time have changed. These elephants now, they are no longer used. We have better equipment to carry log and all that. So they become what we call homely elephant. These have been their life. We train them, they rest among us, we give them food. So now they have a homely life. Homely life, we have to support them. So now they go to the tourist attraction place, they're riding elephant, and all this is...
The feast takes place on March 13th every year and commonly in various parts of Thailand. But this year, celebrations were few because of the COVID pandemic and the economic woes that have come with it. competition at stand-up paddleboard events is Fierce Bert competing on Europe's biggest underground lake at another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the seven-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we are on an underground lake and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere. And really, the atmosphere is great because we are in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we are going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Races, beauty contests, and a marvelous show. Here is everything you need to know about the first Qatar Camel Festival. Qatar kicked off its very first edition of the Camel Festival earlier this month at Lepsair, Doha. The festival features unique and high-value breeds for the public to enjoy. Camels from all around the region will also get to flaunt their posture to earn the title of the most beautiful camel or the highest value breed in the festival. But first, the whole lot should be judged.
Judging is based on the size of the camel's head, the length of the neck and the beautiful appearance of the animal and its health status. Of course, judging is different for each group of camels. For example, in the case of camels that are black, the focus is on the size of the animal's head. But on camels that are white, the focus is on the beauty of the camel and the harmony of the body and the beauty of the animal. In addition, we have very experienced professional staff who will deal with the animal if it is artificially beautified.
To spike excitement and competitiveness in those who enjoy such shows, the country has allocated a whopping 47 million Qatari riyals for the lucky winners. The 45-day event will last until March 22nd and will include various competitions, including 115 local and international races.
In the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we won't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival. A first-of-its-kind selfie museum in the Central American country of Guatemala is gaining lots of attention from excited enthusiasts. The selfie museum is located in Antigua, Guatemala, and is made up of 40 rooms or scenarios. Each room is a recreation of a colorful theme. Wallpaper, wings, greenery, neon signs, and other props are all present to spark the interest of visitors. One room includes a levitating bed, and another is equipped with a spaceship. Other rooms have familiar scenarios of presidential offices and comic book characters for visitors to take photographs in. Several artists participated in creating the art illustrations. A zoo in Peru's capital city, Lima, is celebrating a rare hatching of endangered baby crocodiles. The Huachipa Zoo showcased three females and one male to the public on the World Wildlife Day. The four crocodiles were born in incubators as part of the conservation efforts for the reptile. This species is an American crocodile, which is on the endangered list of animals in Peru. Zookeepers say the black market and threats on their habitat have seen the crocodile population dwindle. The zoo regularly receives animals that were rescued from trafficking. Among those traits are tortoises, macaws, and monkeys.
The 2022 World Cup is reaching a fever pitch as hundreds of people line up at a shopping center in Qatar to take a picture with a trophy. The famous Golden World Cup trophy was unveiled during a ceremony at a mall in Doha, where excited football fans waited for their turn to see it. They were also given the option to take a selfie or have their photo taken professionally. While the competition is still nearly a year away, FIFA says more than a million tickets were requested within the first 24 hours after sales opened. The highest demand came from fans from Qatar, followed by Argentina, Mexico, and the United States, among others. Bangladesh is reviving the ancient tradition of producing a historically renowned fine hand-woven fabric called muslin. With the help of the government, the trade is making a comeback. Now, a workshop has been set up in Dhaka where weavers are being trained in the ancient art. They say it took them months to master the craft, working with incredibly fine hand-spun cotton yarns. The weavers say it takes them 8 hours to spin just 4 centimeters. Some varieties of the fabric are so fine that an entire muslin sari could fit inside a single matchbox.
There was a myth about muslin that it was so delicate that it would pass through even a small ring. Look, it's true. There is space to squeeze in another piece of cloth through this ring as well.
Breathing life back into this ancient trade was not easy. Officials with a revival project say there was little knowledge about how this fabric was made. Plus, the rare cotton variant, which makes this fabric so expensive, was also lost. The precious fabric was the most extravagant of its era and popular in Mongol courts. It was also imported into Europe for much of the 17th century and transformed the style of the aristocracy there.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum. Thank you very much. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about hosting in the view of Islam.
You could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
We open the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 16th of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Isfand, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of March, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open the Holy Quran and we choose a verse from a chapter. Today, Chapter Nur, verse 27.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها. ذلكم خير لكم لعلكم تذكرون.
O you who have believed, do not enter houses other than your own houses until you ascertain welcome and greet their inhabitants. That is best for you. Perhaps you will be reminded.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In narrations, we read that we must ask permissions for three times so that those people in the house may have time enough to get ready. Of course, permission is asked only for entering others' house. Man can enter his house without prior notice. For saving a person who is sinking in the water, the oppressed, and one who is trapped in fire, no permission is needed. Whenever the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny wanted to enter a house, he did not stand in front of its door for asking permission, but he stood either on the left or right so that his blessed look might not fall inside the house.
Thank you.
On the continuation of today's special, we'll look at the hospitality towards guests. Extending hospitality and giving respect to guests are a high culture and an important symbol of excellent manners in the Islamic society. Islam has placed great importance on hospitality. Our beloved Prophet would extend hospitality to guests himself, and it has been proven that if nothing was available in his blessed home, he would even borrow money for guests. Once when a guest came to the beloved Prophet, he sent someone to a Jew to borrow some grain, but the Jew refused to lend grain without any pledge. So the beloved Prophet pledged his armor in order to borrow grain. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the etiquettes conventions of giving ceremonies or holding ceremonies and inviting guests. We find that in the Islamic religion, it's indicated that guests are icons of the divine grace for a family. Such that when you receive some guests at home, you must know that you are going to receive the divine grace. Because, those guests are in fact the means or the ways or means for that God provides a family in order to pay a special attention to them. We find that in our Eastern or Oriental or Middle Eastern ceremonies, we honor guests quite a lot. Yet, some people may not have the right financial opportunity or, for example, a special opportunity. It happens that someone wants to receive guests, but his financial situation may not permit him to receive many guests. And yet, some people may want to receive guests. However, the house isn't that capacious in order to receive too many guests. Yet, according to Islamic practices, when a family receives guests and provides them with, the right reception, when those guests go back home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of this family and its members, especially the host.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
A simple question: how to host a guest? If there is one thing that Muslims are known for around the world, it's our hospitality. While other aspects of our respective cultures may have begun to wither away, Muslims continue to proudly uphold the legacy of hospitality that's been passed down to us through the ages. True hospitality is more than just providing a guest with a bed for the night. As the Prophet said in a hadith, let the believer in Allah and the Day of Judgment honor his guest. For hosting a guest, clean the house. Depending on the normal state of affairs in your house, this might very well be the most time-consuming part of hosting a guest. Still, this should never be skipped. Even if you yourself are accustomed to a certain level of messiness, adab and honor dictates that you not subject your guest to it. Vacuum the house, straighten loose papers, dust the shelves, and scrub the bathrooms.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
Now we look at etiquette guide for being the ideal guest. Don't overstay. Khalid ibn Amr relates that he heard the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, saying, "He who believes in Allah and Last Day and Resurrection Day should honor his guest as he deserves." He was asked, "And what does he deserve, O Messenger of Allah?" And the Messenger answered, "A day and a night of what he deserves, and hospitality for 3 days. More than this is charity." As the mentioned hadith indicates, guests are to be welcomed, but this generosity should not be abused so as to be a burden on the hosts. This factor should be taken into consideration for those of us who come from families back home who may not be well off financially. We should act wisely and judge for ourselves how long is too long for our hosts.
You know, we know the story of Hatim al-Ta'i, how generous he was, that he had absolutely nothing to give to one of his guests that came to him. So he killed the best of his horses that he had to in order to feed the person. Now, whether this was an exaggerated story, whether it is a fable that didn't even happen or not, whatever the case may be, we understand that a dhaif Habibullah, that the guest is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in all of these ahadith, when we hear about a dhaif, ikram al dhaif, being honoring a dhaif, not only being hospitable, not only being kind, not only accommodating to a dhaif, a guest, but honoring the guest. And that's why, you know, you give the guest your seat. That's why it's recommended for you to sit in front of the guest. That's why you always need to remember to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sending a guest to you, because it's a way of showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love to you. This is why Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, "Akrim dhaifak walau kana haqidan," that you should honor your guest. Haqiran, sorry, that you should honor your guest even if your guest was a haqir, a degenerate person, you know, a low life, you know. But if he's a guest, if he's a dhaif, akrimhu, respect him, honor him. Another hadith says, akrim dhaifak, honor your guest even if he was a disbeliever. And, you know, this is one of the, if we could say, ways of us understanding how necessary, obligatory it is for us to honor a guest. It's kind of like understanding that they are seeking your presence as a shelter. You know, they're finding it as a place of refuge, and therefore you need to honor them. Doesn't matter if they're Muslim or non-Muslim, or if they're a friend or they're an enemy, if they are kind or if they are degenerates or haqir, doesn't matter who they are, you honor them, you respect them, you give them what you are able to as well, you feed them what you are able to, you feed them from your food, from what you eat, not something that is lower than what it is that you would usually feed for yourself.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. We were speaking about hosting in the view of Islam, Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the